Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Claudia Monticelli with another episode of my podcast, Multiple Voices. This episode is a little different from all of the rest. Why? Well, because I was a guest on the radio show called Psychic Visions, and the hosts are Jason Zook and Megan Kane. All three of us are psychic mediums, and we had such a good time talking because I knew Zook. I knew Jason, and he had been a guest on my show, and I was a guest on his show, The Social Psychic. And then he got together with Megan and opened a radio show called Psychic Visions. I do hope you enjoy this, and give me a buzz. Bye-bye.
So okay. I want to thank you for coming on the show, Claudia. And from our vantage point, we're honored to have you here for Psychic Visions.
Oh, how wonderful. Thank you. That's nice of you to say, Jason.
You know, from our vantage point, we are trying to have practitioners who are from the spectrum of spirituality. And
yeah,
I feel like
you're right. The spectrum is right.
And, you know, in this particular case, you're a professional interpreter, a college professor. You've had a storied career in academics. You're a psychic medium, medical intuitive, and a podcaster, among other things, as well as an author. And so,
and every now and then, I have to clean my house too. So, I mean, you could throw that in.
Well, you know, I think, Megan, you could agree with me on this too. The theme of what we're doing with these first set of episodes is we're getting people from various backgrounds who aren't just spiritual. There are people who are in their own fields, respectively. And I think that's why we wanted to have Claudia on to talk about her experiences and with what exactly you've been doing and all the amazing things you've done in your career. And Megan, I wanted to ask you, like, I mean, what's been your own independent observations of all these amazing people who are having coming on to share their backgrounds? I just think it's fascinating.
Well, the main thing that I have seen, or the main, I guess, objective, is there's a lot of people who in our field who might have had our abilities as children, or maybe they didn't, but they all did something different. They kind of walked the quote unquote normal path of life, and they found their way, you know, but eventually they had their spiritual awakening, or they had their calling, and they kind of woke up, so to speak, and they have these amazing spiritual careers where they're helping so many people, probably on a level that they thought they never would be able to, and reach as many people as they have. And I just think it's so cool that so many of our guests are so inspiring to the people listening, to all of our listeners who are maybe in that 9-to-5 job that they're just not happy with, or they know that there's something more calling them. And I think a lot of our listeners have all had this calling, this awakening that's been, hey, there's something, I'm going to take this, you know, this risk, I guess. Sometimes it is a risk to leave like what's comfortable and what you've like kind of been doing for a long time, or what you're used to, and coming out of your comfort zone and stepping into this path, this spiritual path it's scary sometimes. And when you do it, it's so rewarding. And that's kind of like what I've learned from a lot of the people that we've had on our show. Well, do you agree? Or?
Yeah, no, I love the whole risk benefit analysis, like thinking about it. For anyone listening to us right now, if you're on the fence about wanting to start a new career for yourself, you and I are examples of this ourselves, Megan, as well. I'm doing it right now as we speak. I'm taking the plunge in the deep end. And I think sometimes having the courage to do that, you'll be rewarded exponentially.
Yeah, I left my family business and real estate investors. And it was very scary to take that leap. And here we are years later. And so that's like one of my biggest questions for Claudia is like, how I want to know about, for the listeners who don't know who you are, can you explain like your upbringing and how you found your way into spirituality?
Sure. Sure. I come from a bi-cultural family. Let's say both of my parents are Italian, but I grew up in the United States. So half of my life was in the United States. And as I, you know, when you grow up and you look at your parents in a certain way, but after my parents passed, I found out this incredible amount of information about them. They were both in the occult, my mom and my dad, in two different ways. My father was a channeler, my mother was a reader, and it's something they never spoke about. And my sisters and I would talk about this after they were gone, and they would say, "Did you ever think? Oh, did you ever think? Did you ever think?" You know.
Yeah.
And so let's say that for me, like you said in the beginning, both you, Jason, and Megan, for most people, it starts when you're very young. I could remember; I must have been about 4 or 5 when I started seeing things, you know, and never was it anything to be fearful of. I remember that. And I didn't know what to do with it because I didn't think it was like a game. You know, you play things, you see people, and they're playful and you just play. then you get messages. I used to get messages and I didn't know what to make of them. So I used to write about them. I would write poems and these short 2-line poems. And it was a way for me to get out, you know, to elaborate what was happening to me. And I, like you said, Megan, most people come to their, I don't like to use the word calling, but you know, you are called in a certain moment. And I was called when I couldn't stand working in the university system anymore, this patriarchal institution. I couldn't take it anymore. And so I thought, well, come on, you know, you should be doing something else. Everything is pointing you in that direction. And that's when I started professionally. And it was so liberating, not only liberating, but it was so satisfying working with people and knowing that you, it's not a power. I can't say you had the power to, but you had the ability to help them in some way. And I'm sure it's the same for both of you. A lot of the things we do, you don't understand clearly why or how you exactly know, but it just comes out. It has to come out like this, a river comes out of your mouth. You know, please don't stop me. I gotta say it all, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you let it go. And then people start telling, how could you know that? How did you, you know? And then it used to creep me out. The hairs used to stand on end when I knew things that I could never possibly know. I would just come back down to earth, of course, do my work, do my job, pay the bills, do everything, but then go and hone a skill that I saw was really, really interesting for me. I hear voices rather than seeing, you know, visually, I see it in my mind's eye, but I hear the voices very, very clearly. The messages come so clearly that I don't even get to the end of an utterance that I know what I'm, you know, what it is. It's interesting. It's interesting. And it changes as time goes on. Maybe because I'm not sure what to say now. We improve the skill or we are more sensitive. That's it. We become more sensitive to the messages or to the information that we can glean from the universe, perhaps. How you like that for an answer, mm-hmm. Megan?
Definitely. Yes. Yes. The more you use it, the more, you know, yeah. you get, I guess. Yeah, same for me.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. The more I do it, the better I get.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you this. Megan's been, I think I mentioned this to you before. You've heard about Megan a lot. Now you finally get to meet her during her interview. But she's been my muse. She's been my muse. She's been the source of my spiritual growth and development over the years and actually
outright
motivated That's me nice. To become an open psychic. So here I am. And my question to you is, who's your muse and why?
Well, I can't say that I have a one person who is a muse, but when I started and I had to put myself out there some way, you know, the website, the YouTube channel, all of it, and everyone, you know, the numbers were growing. I thought, well, I have to do something, you know? So I started looking at, and I never, ever, ever looked at videos in YouTube ever. Then I had to, because I thought you have to see what other people are doing. So I get an understanding of what is going on or how to call things, let's say, you know, even on a website or your services, what do you want to call this service? I read crystal balls. All right. That's called scrying. All right. And I looked around, well, nobody does that. Nobody, you know, so I had to find out ways to do that. And when you say muse, there was one reader, I won't mention her name, that I saw myself I saw myself in her as she was working. And I thought, you know, that's really, really exactly how I feel. And so I followed her for a while. And then I saw the differentiations, you know, the distinctions between what I do and what she does. And I tried initially trying to get a read from her, a reading. And she was so busy a year in advance. And I thought, oh my goodness, well, I guess she must be good, you know. And she was I guess I could call her a muse, but then there are so many different things, you know, there are symbols, there are archetypes like goddesses, Kali, Athena, you know, these kind of personalities, let's say, or really archetypes that give you messages, that tell you things. And so the world that we are in as psychics, because I guess if we had one umbrella term, I'm not sure, would it be okay to call us psychics as a general term? Psychic readers, yes. Psychic mediums, you know, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And so when you're psychic, there you find it's just like going to a candy store when you're a little kid and you've got 10 cents and you walk in and there are all those colors. You don't know what to get first. You know?
Yes.
It's the mm-hmm. same thing when you get into the psychic world. My God, there are messages from all over. You really have to hold, you know, focus or else you'll go cuckoo, you know.
Yes,
yeah, yes. I agree.
I love the candy store analogy.
Yeah, like, me too.
My face lights up when you bring that up. I was taking up,
especially really in a big crowd of people when you open up and there's multiple people like wanting something or wanting you to do
this. Yes, like, when I go live on YouTube, yesterday I just went live. There were 150 people in my chat, and I decided because I was channeling an actor who had passed 2 years ago, commemorating, right? Mm-hmm. And what I did was take his picture. So I had my screen and I spoke to the audience. I said, look, this is the way I'm going to do it, because if I have to concentrate, I have to, you know, shut the screen off. I put his picture there and had the actor go and pick and choose the answers, the questions to the answer, you know, the answers that he would give the audience. And that was tough. Yeah. And so you have to really be able to concentrate. But you know, you learn how to do that right. More or less. I don't know what happens if it ever happens to you, but you get these psychic attacks. Boom. You know, strange things start to happen. In my case, I fall on my knee, which I never do. And there's no reason to, you know, fall. I don't have heels or I bump my head 3 times in the same place in the same day. And I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I get it. Somebody wants to talk to me again, mm-hmm. you know, but then you see it, you know, happening again and again, and you realize I probably didn't shield myself or guard myself in that online session or with a client, or because you get a negative attachments from so many different places, you know, really.
Yes. Constantly having to clean your aura and ground yourself. There's always, you know, when we do work that we do, it's always, you know, there's some things that we have to do to practice, to keep ourselves safe as well and keep our aura clean and everything like that. Yeah. So it makes a lot of sense. I used to get a lot of psychic attacks when I was younger, in my 20s, when I was kind of blocking out, like, nope, this isn't happening. I don't see someone at the end of my bed tonight. Like, I was like blocking things out, because I had just moved into my own apartment when I was 18.
Oh.
And I, you know, things kind of calmed down, and like my, you know, when I was younger, I would see and feel. And then, you know, when I started dating, I was able to kind of control things a little bit more. Like when I was, 13, 14, 15, didn't see as much. And then when I moved out and I was in my own apartment in this 100-year-old building, it was like, I was a free for all. I was like feeling lights, electricity, music. Like, I was like, like, what's happening to me? And that's when I was okay. I can't ignore this anymore. And then that's when I was started seeking people like yourself, like myself, like Jason. And there really wasn't a lot of options back then in the early 2000s. There wasn't a lot of stores like my store in Tampa. And there wasn't a lot of, there wasn't a lot of places to go. There wasn't a lot of information, and the internet was nowhere close to what it is today. We didn't have TikTok or Instagram and all these, you know, very accessible information. And there's a lot of good information out there now. There's a lot of hocus pocus out there as well.
But that's the right word. Hocus pocus is really good.
Especially on TikTok.
Uh-huh. Ooh, recently, at the beginning of the year, I think it was, I was looking around for schools or, you know, institutions that worked with mediums that would not teach, but elevate, you know, where you can meet people like yourself, right?
Definitely.
And I had
new techniques.
Yeah. It had, it was in Switzerland, and they had it every quarter of the year. They would have a 2-week retreat and people would come from all over the world. It had just, they closed it the month before I checked. And it was unfortunate because, you know, we get a bad rap. I mean, people, you know, they, of course, they don't believe what we do, right? And in the beginning, I was so sensitive to that. And I thought, well, maybe I am a quack. You know, I used to say to myself.
I think we've all had that thought process. Anyone who does this work, it's, you question yourself at least once or twice.
But it's unfortunate. Mm-hmm.
I just want to ask you, because I know a lot of people are probably, we get this all the time too. You probably get this being a practitioner. Mm-hmm. Let's say someone comes up to you and asks you, I try so hard. I hear on your show that you guys can meditate and you can be spiritual. And I try so hard to connect, but I just can't connect. What recommendations would you give someone in our audience who wants to connect more based on your personal experiences that helps open them up to spirituality?
Well, what I have to say links to a platform, a perspective that I have, obviously, you know, I don't want to talk politics, but I speak from a I'm speaking from where I am, right? From my experience. And no matter what religious or spiritual background you have, people have come to me from all different backgrounds and they say, what can I do? Just like you said. So I say, you know, but at the same time, the same people ask me, well, is there a God? Was Lord Krishna, did he exist? Was he all of that? And what I say is, you know, there are those among us who walking among us that are elevated. Their spirit is elevated. They have a certain vibrational rate and they attract like vibrations. Having said that, you yourself can do the same. But if you know that the divinity that you are praying to out there, part of that is in you. You have a divine presence within you. And if you, not if, you need to contact that inner voice, well, so many call an inner voice, so that you will be able to connect to the divine. And so there is also, it's all about language as well. You hear people, all of us, we do too. I'm connecting to my higher self. You need to talk to your higher self. I'm looking, well, how high can I go? You know? And if I just said an inner divinity and a higher self, that is two different, you know, those are two different dimensions, obviously. So I have a piece of a cake, a really big cake, but that cake is a pie in the sky. You know, and I'm just one of the ingredients and the pie is up there. And when we pass, we get to have it. We get to taste it actually. So, jokes aside, a lot of the ways that through my channeling sessions, the spirits that were talking, because the questions came and the answers were singing and using your vocal cords is a very strong way to improve or increase your vibrational rate and to get you into a state, I guess I could call it a state of, I don't like to use the word meditation, a state where you can connect. But it is, you know, that sound, the sound
like a higher consciousness that you tap into, right?
Exactly. Like the sounds made by the Arab language, the guttural sounds. Yeah. But it's a singing sound. They actually vibrate or singing actually and changing the span of your vocal cords. Yeah. That was a long answer. I'm sorry.
No, but we totally get it though. We've had, Jason and I have had experience with doing chants and the alms and, you know, we've had, there's this one guy that I've listened to, his name is Stephen, Stephen's Goldman, I think. Mm-hmm. And he does a 7 chakra tuner cleanser. And I've listened mm-hmm. to his, and I've given it to a lot of my clients too, like yeah. even after Reiki or people just coming into the shop to see Jason and I.
Yeah.
And we have like given out this thing, and you listen to it with headphones, especially. And yeah. He records a bunch of monks chanting the ohms. And yeah. it's when you do it along with them, it's not about how you sound, you know, it's all about yeah. how you, when you hit that vibration,
exactly
like
that about, vibration. Yeah.
I'm not going to like scare anybody. Yeah. 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 Ohms, yeah. But, well, but it's like when you hit that, you could feel this intense energy shooting through your body.
Vibration,
and I felt like yeah. two different hands. I felt like when I was getting, yeah. like when I get Reiki, yeah. I could feel like my earth hands, like my body. Yeah. And I can also feel my spirit hands like floating above it. And I feel like they're like flat, and I can feel my body holding the crystals. It's such an intense feeling that those chants can really give yeah. people. And that was when
get
I was
this.
First
when you,
opening
while
up.
While you're talking, there's a different way of the hands, you know, because of the higher self and your inner voice. Imagine a hand on the outside and a hand on the inside pushing. Mm. That connection there, that is a good way of you know, the connection to spirit.
You know, I love too the idea of the healing power of sound, the healing modality.
Yes.
Of like during the pandemic, yes. I know Megan knows this very well. I would tell her that we're in the height of the quarantine. I was blasting my music and running around my house, like listening to songs.
I thought you were going to tell me you were singing in the shower.
No, he does that too.
I'm sure he does that too. With his birds chirping along, singing along, probably at this point. They're parrots, so
yeah,
they know lots of words. But yeah,
if only they could talk.
Right, exactly. Oh, they do talk, trust me.
Oh,
you go over there and they're like,
oh, how silly,
like,
of me.
Yeah, they have a call for us. They're so funny. They're the best. But yeah, but again, sounds, birds, you know, they hear, yeah. they communicate through that too. And it's such a beautiful thing. Jason and I recently learned how to incorporate, we'd already been doing like crystals into a lot of our work, but we learned how to incorporate sound into mm-hmm. our healings recently, like
yes.
with big shaman drums, and we love them so yeah. much. And you know, I've been using sound bowls for a long time, and I have like one made of
amethyst. When you say sound bowls, do you mean the round bowls?
Yes,
with
like the crystal
Tibetan
ones.
Bowls. Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, I've mm-hmm. had the Tibetan ones. Those are more of like a like brass or silver.
Oh, brass. What are these
metals? This is made of crystal, like pure crystal.
Oh my god!
Yeah, they melt it down. They reform it. And they mm-hmm. do them with amethyst now, rose quartz.
Beautiful.
And yes. And they make the most beautiful sounds. So you have the healing energy from mm-hmm. the crystals plus the sound. And it just mm-hmm. is such a great combination with energy healing or even like during readings and just kind of the like set mm-hmm. the tone. It's nice.
Yeah. Interesting.
I love the fact that you're on our show because you kind of attest to all the different points we try to make during our interviews. And one of those yeah. is I want to ask you about your writing background. Can you tell us a little about your books and what you write about?
All of my publications are academic. I have to say that 3 times. They're all academic. They're all academic. They're all academic. A lot of the essays and the research findings are a little less academic because, and they're more recent, 2018, where I work with a TV series in the United States, and I use my social linguistic tools, you know, I go through different things and to glean, because I'm a specialist in ideology and power in language, and so that's what I come out. But it's funny, like you said, I want to know about your writing. Whoa, you can't imagine what I'm doing now. Because I have this baby. I've got a baby mm-hmm. here. I'm in gestation. And I changed the rules of the whole book. And now, you know how when you have something, you've got this ball, this thing, creature, and it's so ugly. And you don't know how you're going to love it, right? And then to make it beautiful, you have to change it, dress it up. So I did that recently with the book that I was writing. And all of a sudden, I'm in love. And it's been 4 days. I don't sleep at night so I can...
Wow,
and
that's that full moon. You got that creative.
That title is the power of... Right, the magic of power. Oh, wait a minute. The magic of pleasure seeking. I've been working on it for about 2 years and I hated it. And now I got it. And, you know, and it's going to reflect what I want to say, because I had met a few people who were coaching me on what you can say, what you can't say, because the American public, this, that, and the other thing. And I thought, what the hell? How can I write if I don't, you know, if I have to watch out what I'm saying? And this time I'm going to, you know, because it's pleasure seeking, I'm going to keep a chapter in there, the elephant in the room. You know, and we'll have to talk about it.
You know? I love it. But, you know, you're kind of, so you're going to make it more of a metaphysical, like, tone to it.
The metaphysical gets in there because I do talk about goddesses and how the role of a god, you know, it's pitched to women from the late Zen, the 18 to 35, right? And I don't want to give you any more information.
Well, we're so excited. It's
a narrative nonfiction. So I have experiences of my clients in the chapters as well. And it's a practical book. Of course, there's also a chapter in the magic of signs and how to read signs and how to use signs, you know, and signs are linked to symbols as well.
Synchronicity.
You know? Yeah. And synchronicity. And so that is coming out, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited because I've got it and the baby's growing.
We would love to have you on again when you're ready to launch it. And if you ever want to do anything in person down here.
I'll fly right there.
I'm down to Tampa. We got a big bookstore, so
we
do signings, and it'll be fun. Good. Like metaphysical store.
Claudia, two things. I love just your energy and what you're sharing with us today. it's amazing. I want to ask you two questions. One, touching on what you're talking about with your own creative energy, I'd like to see if you could tell us how you feel the power of creating things works in your life. And then I also wanted to see if you could just add into that to tell us a little about your podcast and how that factors into everything else you've been doing.
Yeah. Okay. Now, when we talk about power, it's a social thing, and it's an interpersonal game. It's a game, right? So even my podcast is an interpersonal game, just like this. We talk, you give us the floor. I shut up when I look at, you know, when I see you do something and I see that, you know, so it, how does power figure in what in my writing? It's something that I have to be very careful with and dose it, because instead of being a prescriptive, you got to do this, nobody wants to read that. They want to be interactive. They, you know, they want to be able to play with the book. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a pleasureful thing. And I also thought of, a pleasure support group, because so many women really don't believe they deserve pleasure. And so that is, you know, one of the goodies that will come out of that. But power is essential to the way you move, the way you communicate, even the way you use your body language, how you dress. Of course, everything speaks of you. But when you open your mouth and something comes out, you could look like a dog, but that's what really is you know, the cellar, the pit of the cellar. Let's see, the podcast, I had mentioned to you, Jason, when we were on together in your podcast, that initially my podcast started as a way of me reading my chapters when I hated the baby. and I thought maybe by reading them, every episode was a chapter and I would get to like it. Well, I didn't get to like it that much. So then I stopped and I started interviewing other people. Now I have about 112 episodes. And so it's a wonderful, like, you know, like you both know, it's just fantastic to talk to people, argue even with people, you know, let them talk, but, you know, call them out on their you know, bullshit that they say sometimes, you know,
you have to keep people on their toes and keep them honest.
Right.
I love it. Yeah. And you definitely are a straightforward type of person. And I really like that about you, because you seem very,
I'm a straight shooter. Yeah. I'm sorry about it.
Hard on your sleeve. And that's kind of the way I am too. I'm also Italian. So, you know, Oh, and I also come from goodness. A line of, yeah, my, well, my Italian side.
We're all represented.
Yeah, there we are. And my Italian side is also intuitive. Like I come from Catholic intuitives that it was kind of hush hush in the generation before me. Like a generation before you is more of like, we won't talk about it because, you know, things have changed. And, you know, before, you know, the tarot was, is from, I believe what I've been told from Italy. It's where it originated. Yeah. Kind of original. They say, you know,
well, yeah, so, the French and the Italians fight for that.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it's like, you know, I feel like it's been in our genes, our cult, in the culture for so long. And I'm glad that we're able to kind of just come out and be true to who we are now in this day and age and not be ostracized for it.
Well, let's make a pact. I will definitely come to Tampa and, you know, sign books or whatever.
Let's do
and
it.
We'll play, but you guys have to come to Rome.
we are down. I love it.
We're playing on Megan's idea right now. I'm telling you.
Years, so I need to go.
Synchronicity. Can I just raise this point? Megan and I were just talking about how we want to go and visit our guests, and I feel like the synchronicity of you bringing that up, it touches on everything. Like there's the role and power of synchronicity in our lives. Like Megan and I have so much synchronicity of how we and our backgrounds and who we are, and you and I connected last year at the synchronicity where you grew up and where I'm from in New Jersey. And I just want to ask you this: when you look at the power of synchronicity and how it's influenced your life, what would you share with our audience as one of the most synchronistic events in your life that has motivated you on your journey?
Ah, well, you know, people have to know that the synchronicity is a little bit like luck, you know, being at the right place at the right time, and you don't know why. And I have to say that's everything that I do, every single thing that I do. I can't say that there is one specific, at least not here. Now, not at this moment on these 2 feet that I have. No, I can't think of anything specific. Well, meeting you both is pretty, you know, synchronous. But I can't say of it that anything else isn't, you know. I'll give you an example. You know, I could remember when I was little, every Saturday morning, we would get a little bit parked in front of the television, you know, and we would watch Abbott and Costello, all their movies and all of those things. And I would love that. I come to Rome, live in Italy, Tuscany, then in Rome. And I'm, you know, fixing the apartment. And I said, okay, let me get some you know, portraits of Costello, Lou Costello, from where I grew up, right? I put them on the walls right near the window because my window is very large. And a woman walked past. She saw the pictures, and she rang me, and she said, and she was an older woman. She said, how did you want? You know, she was thinking, where are you from? What are you doing? How could you have that? You know, and it was a distant relative of the family. Wow. You know, and so why would that have happened that day?
Right, you put it up, and she walks by.
Yeah, and I might have had, maybe I needed to remember my roots, you know?
Right, and maybe she needed some kind of confirmation too that
exactly.
Tell you about. And that's, it's so beautiful how that happens, and we really are all so connected, and that's why you have to be nice to people. That's why you have to be nice to people, because everybody is an extension of, you know, we're all
except
somehow related.
I'm pissed
we're all
off.
So connected. Yeah, exactly. Except for the way when they're on your S list and you're, you know, not supposed to.
Yeah.
Like, gotta get back in your good graces.
So Jason was telling me, Megan, that you have a store, this crystal store, and I thought she's in heaven. I mean, she's in heaven.
Yes, I am. I'm surrounded by crystals. And
how long have you had the store?
Books. I've had it since probably about 6 or 7 years. It started more as I was an artist. I was making things with crystals, making jewelry, making things. And then people kept writing my Etsy saying, your crystals are so charged. They're so cleared. Like, they're so powerful. I'm like, what are they talking about?
What are they talking about?
No. And then I had a few more weird, quote unquote, happenstances where people were like, you know, you're a healer. You're sending out energy, blah, blah, blah. And then I went to Lilydale up in, you know, New York, which is a psychic community. I'm sure you've heard of it. Medium community. And they kind of guided me and said, you need to like redo your store and make it just completely metaphysical.
Oh,
get away from
wow.
online.
Nice.
Start doing your readings and healings more. And yeah. that's what I did. Yeah. And it just took off. And here we are.
That's
now
great.
We have, you know, a psychic, you know, that's show great. And a network. And
that's great.
It's been great. It's great, but we're definitely, we have a lot of really beautiful crystals from around the world and thousands. I'm not kidding. Thousands oh. of tarot and oracle decks. Like,
so oh, have, I can imagine. I can
it's
imagine.
Really fun.
It's like the Disney World for psychics.
Really, Disney. Yeah,
we have everything. We have herbs. We have, you know, a lot of, we have Reiki, we have readings, you know, yeah. Jason will make some guest appearances there. And we have other, you know, mm-hmm. readers that come in and do guest appearances that have like followings on YouTube and stuff like yeah. that. And it's really great. We have a really great time. It's a community. You know, we have
okay. So the pack stands. And I go to Tampa. You guys come here.
We love that idea.
I'll do yeah. it. Yeah. Get ready for us. I see that comfortable leather couch in your background there. I call that couch, Jason. You get the floor. Okay.
Claudia, we just got back from California, so
oh, yeah.
I can tell you when we travel in style.
Where did you go?
We're Malibu and LA, and we went to San Diego. We got to see the Redwoods. Megan was the best tour guide I've ever had in my entire life, the best trip of my life. I can't even begin to tell you. We got to meet one of our producers, and we got to work with one of our prior guests, Athena Bari. And
that's amazing.
If we come to Italy, I'm telling you, we'll be doing it in style.
All right.
And you will see Megan on your couch and you see
Jason hiding behind that cool little
it's a deal.
I love your Game of Thrones chair in the background. I love it.
Oh, where is it?
Right behind you. It looks like
it's a screen.
That's a screen. It's a screen.
I love it.
Yeah, oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It, you can't see the top of it. Wait, if you could see, there's beautiful. The top of it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It looks like a Game of Thrones. One of the thrones. I love it.
Yeah. For those of you who are listening, she's got great stuff in her apartment there in Rome. It's like some fun stuff. We got to come out and hang out. Go through your
eclectic.
Paintings and
it's a little eclectic.
I love it. Yeah. We're very eclectic. So
sure.
I'm redoing my podcast room. That's why it's all like blank behind me. But
so
for next season, it's going to be really snazzy with like, you know, crystals and all my good stuff.
Yeah, after you come to Rome. That's right.
I'll be inspired.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, because we're running low on time, if you could share your information with our audience. We're going to have in our show notes.
Sure.
But the best way to reach out to you.
Sure. I have two websites. One is www.claudiamonacelli.com, and the other is www.christellemartinet.com. I have a YouTube channel that uses both names, Claudia Monacelli, aka Christel Martinet. And my Instagram handle is very popular, and it is @TheMagicOfPleasureSeeking. So those are probably the biggest. And I think in Twitter, it's Magic of Pleasure. But that's that. I won't give out my phone number.
it'd be ringing off the hook. You'd have lots of Rome suitors at your door ringing your bell.
Psychic attacks.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of family members. You're right. A lot of people on the other side coming through.
Right.
I understand that. Definitely.
We really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, it was such a pleasure to meet you, Megan, really. And to see you again, Jason. And we'll talk again.
I would say this.
Of course.
It's just it's a pleasure having you share yourself with us today and all your gifts and just your insight and wisdom. And we appreciate you coming on. And I'm so glad you finally got a chance to meet Megan. And
yes. No, it was not. It can only be fun, you know, because all of a sudden, my God, people like me, I can tell them anything.
Yes.
You know,
and we all think alike, you know, you said, you attract, you know, similar vibrations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope to talk to you both soon again.
Oh, you'll see us. We'll be there. We'll be there in Rome. We're coming. Yeah. Good plan.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye, Jason.
Bye. It was so great.
Bye-bye, Megan.
Bye. See you soon.
Thank you.